This is Fighting for Families with Joe McGee.
If you don't know who you are in Him, in whom, and in Christ, you're talking out of your flesh. And that's not going to make anybody happy. It's not going to help anybody. It's not going to please anybody. You're just a problem looking for somewhere to happen. You're a thumb sucker. You're a newspaper editor that's just unleashed on somebody else. Well, you never, and you, oh, ain't I never, and we never, and we never, we are. It's like, and buddy, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So I learned something. The greatest, if the number one reason for divorce is incompatibility or we don't know how to communicate, then maybe we ought to learn that before we ever get married. I need to know how to listen and how to talk. Two ears, one mouth. It's a math thing. Listen twice as much as you speak. God didn't give you two mouths, just one.
Today, Joe brings you an eye-opening message. You'll be rolling with laughter and thinking about how you can build a better marriage. Stay with us. Joe will be back in a moment. Before we get into today's message, I wanted to briefly let you know about this month's great radio offer. Anytime during today's program, you can call 1-800-482-5862, and with a gift of $35 or more, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you the Marriage Building 101 Essentials Set. The set includes three audio messages, a couple of prayer reminder cards, and 31 teaching cards to use with your kids. All of this to help you ultimately build a strong marriage and family. Call now 1-800-482-5862 or visit us anytime at fightingforfamiliesradio.com. Now here's Joe with a very interesting and funny story about the reality of marriage.
Okay, here's what we're going to do today. Years ago when I was a school administrator, I would pick one day out of their year for my seniors, and I would put them on a bus and I'd take them down to divorce court, because by the time you're a senior in high school, you're in love. You know, you're sucking the lips off somebody. You just know this is the one. I said, okay, well, I'm glad you're in love, so we're going to go on a field trip tomorrow. I'm going to take you to McDonald's, get you a breakfast sandwich, and we're going down to divorce court. Where? Divorce court. They have a balcony in Tulsa County. You can sit in the balcony and watch divorce proceedings. Why are we going to divorce court? You'll find out once we get there. Just shut your face up and get in the bus. It's all right. So we go down to divorce court, and we'll sit there in the balcony, and you know, it doesn't take long, because what you're going to see are two people who at one time swore before God and witnesses their undying love to one another. Until death us depart, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. That's who you're going to see today. I said, now today you're going to hear every nasty, foul, four-letter word you've ever heard. Because they're going to holler and scream and cuss. You think, what happened? Well, these are two people who were in love. And something happened. This couple came to me one time. They were going to get a divorce. They would go see their pastor. They thought they'd sneak in and see me as a last-ditch effort. So what's that? Well, we're getting in a divorce. I said, Mom, why? Well, we have fallen out of love. I said, what? Well, we just fallen out of love. I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, when did you fall in? What? When did you fall in love? I don't understand. Well, you can't fall out unless you fell in. I mean, you weren't born next to one another, were you? Were you twins? So I assume you met and you fell in love. Well, yeah, that's a long time ago. Well, how did you fall in love? And because usually it takes a while for them to think stuff up. And they'll go through it and this. And finally say, okay, well, that's good. Now, when did you fall out? What? Well, you said you've fallen out. And usually some point about 30 minutes into it, I said, listen, guys, you don't fall in love. You don't fall out. I said, you can fall out of bed and fall off a ditch, fall out of the car, but you don't fall out of love. Love's a choice. For God so loved, he gave. He did something. He chose. And so when you get married, it's something you choose to do. And last night we talked about, you know, marriage is something that you build. So I was thinking, you know, we were taking the seniors down. Of course, on the way back to high school from divorce court, you'll see a lot of rings being swapped. Hey, not now. I'm not going steady anymore, no more. And trying to let them know, listen, marriage is the second greatest thing God ever did, but the devil hates marriage. He'll come after tooth and toenail. So there's some things you need to know. Now, being an old engineer, I was what they call a process engineer. I studied methods, methodologies. And so my job was to fix stuff once it was busted. That's when I got paid. I got paid when something was tore up. And so I loved it when you get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Joe, you got to come in. The machine's not running. That's great. I'll be right there. I'm about to get paid. I love that. And so God almost trained me for ministry in 10 years of working as an engineer. Like, what do? I fix busted stuff. It's my job. I don't ever gripe, cuss, throw a fit. Well, it's broke again. No, praise God, it's broke. Thank you, Jesus. It's broke. And so when I got into ministry, we started working with families, you know, they would come to us. We'd have these family conferences on the weekend or had a class on Sunday evening. I realized that, man, we're broke. We're busted. We don't know what we're doing. And that's when I realized men didn't know their job description. Women didn't know theirs. Because when I'm teaching a class, I'm learning at the same time. Because I remember when our pastor told us, Joe, we gotta have a class on marriage and parenting. We don't know what we're doing. I said, I know. He said, so get somebody. So I looked for 6 weeks to find somebody in our church. And we had about 3,000 people at the time. Well, nobody would teach on parenting or marriage. They'd teach on money, on end times, on the Holy Ghost. Nobody would teach on it. I said, how come you won't teach on marriage? You seem to have a good one. No, we're not doing it. And I would ask them, then they said, why not? So we know what'll happen. We'll start teaching on marriage. Our marriage will go to hell in a handbasket, and we'll get divorced, have to quit church, and we don't want to do that. So we're not teaching on marriage. And that was the answer they would give us. I thought, oh my goodness. So Pastor finally said, Joe, you're going to have to do it. And I said, dear Lord, I'm going to the class. I'm not going to teach it. I need help myself. I'm going to go sit in the class. He said, no, you're going to have to do it. We can't find anybody. So I thought, oh my goodness. And I went home, told Denise, I said, you can't believe this. We've got to teach a class on parenting and marriage. She said, you don't know anything about either one. I said, I know. I said, but evidently I'm going to have to learn. So I went to the local Christian bookstore and said, I need help. You got any books? And so I just started to read. And so I would teach a class from a book I read. Where'd you learn that? I read it in a book last week. Do you do that? No, but I need to. I just learned it. It's incredibly. You can laugh. I'm very serious. And so people say, how did you learn? Well, kind of the hard way. We learned that what we were doing wasn't working. We got to do something different. Now, when you begin to study marriage, and you can Google it or go to uscensus.gov, you know, if I'm going to deal with marriage, what's wrong with it? Well, it broke. It's broke. It got broke in the garden. Adam and Eve sinned, fired, evicted, kids killing each other. It's still broke, except now there's a church. When Jesus came out of the grave, he built something called a church, and the gates of hell don't prevail against us. We are now born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. We're in the Word of God. We scare hell. Hell doesn't scare us. We're the light. We're the salt. We're supposed to have the kind of marriage, 1 Peter 3, that makes others ask us about the hope that's in us. Not because we're perfect, but because it doesn't matter what hits us, we somehow seem to come out smelling like a rose. You know where people say, weren't y'all yelling down there the other night? Wasn't that? Yeah, but we're not anymore. We made up, kissing, hugging. And, wasn't your kids? Yeah, but they're not. It's like, it's not that you don't go through things, it's that you come out of things. Thus, last night, blessed are the problem solvers. What do? We fix stuff. We don't gripe about it. We don't become a billboard. So we started teaching the class. I thought, well, what's the top things people are dealing with? So today we're going to cover the top four. I don't care what you Google. These will be the top four reasons couples do not stay married. I thought, well, if they're not staying married, let's see if we can fix it. The number one you'll find, I don't care what you look up, what's the number one reason given for divorce? It's called incompatibility. Why aren't you still married? We were incompatible. What does that mean? Well, we were just incompatible. Well, what does that mean? Well, we just didn't get along. Over what? Nothing. And what happens is most people get married without realizing what we covered last night. You married your opposite. You didn't marry you. You married your total opposite. And so it goes back. If you don't have a vision for what you're doing and where you're going, there's going to be a problem. Now, when Denise married me, I was the furthest thing from a minister you could imagine. God had always told her she was going to marry a minister. You're going to marry a minister. Well, I wasn't a minister. I would go pick her up from her church. I would sit on the hood of my 56 Chevy outside church with a big wad of chew in the back of my jaw, have my jean shorts on barefoot, and I'm waiting on her to come out. And it's like, oh, you a preacher? No, I don't get it. No, I'm not even close to a preacher. Well, she married me anyhow. Well, long story short, I guess I am a preacher now because God's got a great sense of humor. And God was right. Now, what I want to do is kind of just mess with you a little bit here, because all of you here today are here by divine appointment. Now, this is in our finance book, has nothing to do with money. I stuck it in the middle just to kind of mess with people. I've done this with all my kids, got five of my daughters here this morning. I made them a book years ago, went to Walmart, got a 3-ring binder. I said, if I don't get inside your head, I'm never going to be able to help you. It has to start on the inside, not on the outside. When I was a school administrator at Grace School in Tulsa, we became the number one academic school and held that for 5 years. And it wasn't because I got smart kids. They were the same kids that were flunking 5 years earlier. If you get inside somebody, that's how you change them. God understood it. The man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not what he's outside, not how much money he's got. It's not based on your GPA or your IQ. It's what you believe about yourself on the inside. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I said, evidently you think stupid because you act stupid and talk stupid. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You know, there's a great scripture in Romans 2:1 says, be careful when you judge somebody else, for when you judge somebody else, you condemn yourself, for it takes one to know one. I will accuse of my wife what I'm guilty of. She'll accuse me of what she's guilty of. Our sin nature will attack in everybody else what we're not good at. What is that? It's a defense mechanism. That's why you got to get born again. You got to get truthful. Truth will set you free. And what most couples end up doing, they try to be nice. Well, praise God, sure, if that's what you want, and okay, and fine. And, you know, 10 years later, there's a volcano about to erupt. I always did what you wanted. Never got to do what I wanted. It's always that. And then all of a sudden, like, what happened? Well, you were nice. There's an old saying in Texas, nice people finish last. Now, hang with me here a minute.
You're listening to Joe McGee on Fighting for Families. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries and the radio program Fighting for Families. Joe uses a laugh-and-learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862, and the website, fightingforfamiliesradio.com. Now collect yourself, smile, and let's rejoin Joe as he dives deeper into God's Word.
There's an old saying in Texas, nice people finish last. Now hang with me here a minute. When Jesus hired a staff, you know, the 12 disciples, the apostles, you know, the first three he hired were cousins. Now you can read this in Matthew, Mark, Luke. Peter, James, and John were cousins. Jesus grew up with them. They're the first three guys he hired on the staff, and the only three he gave nicknames to. He hired Peter. Peter, you're going to come work for me. Except he wasn't Peter, he was Simon. Simon, you're going to come work for me. I need a staff now. We're getting ready to start my ministry. Except I don't like your name. That's a sissy name. We're going to change your name from Simon to Peter. In the Greek, it means the rock. You the rock. So shave your head, get your handlebar mustache and a biker vest. You the rock. The next two, it's a, you can read it, Matthew. And the next two he picked were James and John. Well, they were cousins. So James, John, you're going to be the next guys, and I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you the Sons of Thunder. Even in the King James, that he Jesus nicknamed James and John as Sons of Thunder. You know, don't you shave your head, get your handlebar mustache, biker vest, you're the Sons of Thunder. Now, they're the only three that Jesus gave nicknames to. Why? Because they're mean as snot. Peter's going to cut your ear off. Jesus is going to have to put it back on. Twice, James and John are going to try to call fire to heaven and burn you to a french fry. Jesus is going to have to stop them. Why'd you hire these boys? They have a lot of potential. Because Jesus is going to build a church in storm. And when hell hit, Jesus only took Peter, James, and John. When he needed to go raise the girl from the dead, he didn't take the other nine. He took Peter, James, and John. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't take the other nine. He took Peter, James, and John. If you read the Gospels, just go through all four. Every time hell got hot, he only took Peter, James, and John. I don't need nice people. I need mean people. And I've seen couples come in for marriage, and they're just trying to, we're just trying to get along, and we're just trying to help one another. No, you're not. You're liars. And liars go to hell. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Do you like that? No. You want to go in here? No. I had all my girls with me. We were at a great seafood restaurant down in Melbourne, Florida. It's our 30th wedding anniversary for Denise and I. And flew two of the girls down. The rest were with us and had a really nice private room, this really nice five-star restaurant. We're in there, and I've gone to a seafood restaurant every anniversary for 30 years of my life because my dad took my mom to a seafood restaurant. So we're going to a seafood restaurant. We're sitting in a nice private room sitting there, and we're eating, and all of a sudden I noticed Denise wasn't not eating her food. And I said, honey, is everything okay? Something wrong with your food? No, I'm just thinking. I said, what is it? She said, is this a good seafood restaurant? Said, yeah, babe, this is a five-star restaurant. We've had reservations for 2 weeks to get in here. Is there something wrong with your food? I'll take care of it. No, I just realized something. I said, what? I don't like seafood. I said, shoot, babe, you've been eating for 30 years. She said in front of my kids, no, I just figured you never could find a good restaurant. But if this is a good one, I don't like seafood. Or my kids, they say, my God, Dad, you teach on marriage. Yes, I do. And I have a whole new seminar right here. This is going to be brand new. I took my wife on vacation every year. The first 17 years of our marriage, we went to visit our families. Our families live 3 miles from each other, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, we're talking about communication, in case you don't know the subject. We're driving back to Memphis, heading to Tulsa, just having a nice time. And Denise says, she says, Joe, we're not going to your parents on vacation ever again. Well, where do you want to go? She said, I want to go on a real vacation. I said, well, what kind's that? The kind you pay for. I said, where do you want to go? I want to go to Disney World. I said, you mean it's in Florida? Yes. I said, do you have any idea what it would cost the 8 of us to go to Disney World? I don't care. You've got a year to get us there. She looked over the back seat at all my kids. She said, hey, kids, guess what? Next year, Dad's taking us to Disney. And she looked back around at me. She winked. Gotcha. Now, I'm trying to help you. I know you're laughing, but this is true. This is going to help you this morning. We get married, and we start playing games with one another. Oh, that upset him. Don't talk about that. Oh, that upset him. Don't talk about that. So we put up a wall here, and then a wall here, and then a wall here. Pretty soon, there's a maze. You can't get to one another. If you can't get to one another, you'll never get an agreement. If you don't get an agreement, your prayers are not going to get answered. Now you neutralize. The devil's going to have a heyday on your head. So all of a sudden, I realize, okay, Disney, we got to go to Disney, dear God. I got to go to Disney. So I planned, saved money, did the best I could. I think we made it to Gadsden, Alabama the next year, and that's where we ran out of money. Stayed at a Motel 6, had the Chinese restaurant, kids under 12 eat free, dollar movie theater, had a great time. You know, Gadsden's got a big brass peanut in the middle of town. You can see a big brass peanut out there. Right? So Denise never griped. She knew I used every ounce of faith I had, saved every dime. She never griped one time. Kids kept wanting to know where Disney was. It's south here. Shut up, get in the pool. The second year we made it to Jacksonville, Florida, we're not on the ocean, but we can drive to the ocean. So we'd go over and the kids would play in the ocean. They said, where's Disney? We're going to rent some videos. It's south here. Shut up. Get in the water. The third year we made it to Clearwater Beach, Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful place. Man, really nice. And we're sitting there in the water just enjoying the stuff. Kids are playing there in the Gulf. Nice place. I mean, 5-star place. And so we're just sitting there in our lounge chairs watching the kids play. And so I'm the verbal one. Denise is not verbal. She's almost like a man. I'm almost like a woman. So I do all the talk. I said, I did good this year, didn't I, baby? And it's good? I did good, Joe. This is nice. Yeah, nice, man. This is a nice place. She said, but this isn't the real ocean. I'm not making this up. I said, what? This isn't the real ocean, Joe. This is the backwater. The real ocean's on the other side of the state. I'm not making this up. And she said, by the way, Joe, I want you to take us to Disney tomorrow. I said, babe, I don't have the money for Disney. No, I just want you to drive over and show the kids where you're taking them next year. So we loaded up the Suburban, went and got a breakfast sandwich there at the Hardee's and drove over to Orlando, parked in the Mickey Mouse section, rode the tram right to the front gate. Now the kids know we're not going in. We're just going to see it. So they're real excited. So we got out, went to the front gate, you know, the big black steel bars. We're looking like... You know, people are pouring in, you know. You know, the monorail's going by, choo-choo train. Pluto came over and talked to my kids. Now, he's on the other side of the bar, but we had a picture taken with Pluto. And we finally turned around with our back to the entrance and had the sweet little couple take our picture. We go back to Tulsa. Corey was in the 5th grade at the time, and she goes in the first week of school. On Friday, you get to share what you did that summer. Well, I didn't know she took that picture. And so she got up and said, Corey, come tell us what you did this summer. She said, well, my family and I, we went to Disney. And next year, we're going in. Yeah, that lady eventually worked for me. That was embarrassing. She reminded me of that. So the next year, we went to Disney, and we were there when they opened up. Stayed in a really nice Ramada Inn. It was a nice Ramada Inn right in the middle of Orlando. And we were there when they opened up, wore that puppy out. Stayed till they shut it down. Riding the ferry boat back across to the car. Man, I've broke. I've spent everything, you know, $5 Coca-Cola. It's just like... So I looked at Denise. We're hanging over the rail of the ferry boat. We rode the ferry back across the parking lot. I said, I did good, didn't I, babe? You did good, Joe. Finally got us here. You did good. She kissed me, and I looked down, and Tess is there. And Tess has got tears coming down her face. I said, honey, you okay? Now, this place is packed. It's packed, you know. I said, baby, you all right? You okay? I thought, well, too much Pepsi and pizza. I said, you okay? And she muttered something. I said, what is it, baby? You okay? You something wrong? And here's what she said. We didn't get to see Frontierland. I said, what did you say? We didn't see Frontierland. I said, babe, you can't see it all in one day. It's too big. Well, I want to see Frontierland. And it's taken me 4 years to believe Jesus, bind the devil, save money, take extra job, and you're crying. So for just a brief moment, I lost my salvation. And I started screaming. I said, don't you worry. We're coming back. We're coming back. I'm going to make you sick of Mickey Mouse. You're going to get sick of Mickey Mouse.
You're listening to Joe McGee on Fighting for Families. Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862 or visit us online at fightingforfamiliesradio.com. That's fightingforfamiliesradio.com. Now here's Joe with today's take-home tool for you to use.
You know, a great lesson you learn in marriage is about fixing things. You know, when I got married, we bought everything new. I remember going to buy furniture. I mean, we were getting our first apartment. Everything we got's new. Lamps, beds, you name it, all new. You know what happens to new stuff? It wears out. It got to where the dryer we bought, the dryer door wouldn't stay shut. So 2 years into our marriage, I'm having to use duct tape to tape that door shut because it wouldn't stay shut. I tried to find the part. They said, well, you don't make it anymore. We don't have it. So I'm duct taping my dryer door shut. Got to while after while the refrigerator wasn't working like it's supposed to. Things begin to tear up. Transmission's leaking. You know, the grill we bought to grill hamburgers rusted out, fell out on the carport. Like, what's going on? You know, you're having to fix stuff. The first year I was married, I put on 52 pounds. I'm eating good. My wife's a great cook. And I remember just all of a sudden realizing nothing stays the same. Everything's changing. Everything's going on from your opinions about stuff. I tell people all the time, we've been married 43 years, and the woman I'm married to today is not exactly the same woman I married 43 years ago. She changed. She's got different attitudes, opinions, thoughts. I think, well, I'm a man. I just want to get something done and not do it again. Fix that, don't have to fix that again. Some things you got to fix on a regular basis. And one of the greatest challenges I learned is after we'd been married a while, we had our 6 kids, we didn't have much time to date. I wasn't making time like I should. So finally I thought, I got to get Denise out of the house for an evening. So I finally found a babysitter that would babysit all 6 kids and came to the house. We're riding into town. We live way out in the country. And we're riding into town and I want to be a good husband. I want to start doing things right again. And I want to fix our relationship, make it better, you know, not just fix appliances and cars. And so we're driving into town. I said, well, honey, where would you like to eat tonight? She said, well, Joe, wherever you'd like to take me. Well, honey, I want to take you where you want to go. What are you in the mood for tonight? You want some steak? You want some seafood, pasta? What are you in the mood for? Well, Joe, wherever you'd like to take me would be great. It's just good to get out. Well, that's good, babe, but I just want to make sure it's real special. What are you in the mood for? And I realized 12 miles from our house driving into town, we started yelling at one another. And we're yelling and screaming, like, what is wrong? And so I just got mad. I pulled off the side of the road, turned around, went back. I'm fine. We'll go home and eat hot dogs. You don't want to decide something, we'll go home. So I remember about 6 weeks later, I realized I did something wrong. So we're heading back into town. 6 weeks later, on another date, we get into town. I picked her restaurants, didn't ask her a thing. I'm just having a nice conversation. We go in, we sit down. She said, Joe, I'm going to put my makeup on, you know, get her our order. So the waiter came and said, can I take your order? I said, well, yeah, I want to order everything right now. So I gave her order, my order. Denise comes back, sits down, and we're sipping on our iced tea. She said, well, where's the waiter at? Well, he's already been here. You already placed our order? Oh, yeah, I've ordered for both of us. You ordered for me? Yes, I did. And she set her tea down and she looked at me and she said, finally. I said, what? I said, finally, you've grown up. I said, what? Joe, I want you to be a man. I want you to make decisions. You make the wrong decision, I'll tell you, don't make that decision again. But quit asking me to lead. I need you to lead. I realized, oh my goodness, that's great. So I learned how to fix things by making decisions. If they're not right, Don't make that decision again. It's really working good today. God bless you.
Thank you, Joe. If you like what you heard today and you'd like to help Joe continue to fight for families, call now and become a partner. With a gift of $35 or more, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you ultimately build a strong marriage and family. Call now 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. Or visit us online at fightingforfamiliesradio.com. That's fightingforfamiliesradio.com. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. Join us tomorrow when Joe continues to talk about communication in marriage. If you and your spouse have perfect communication, there's no need to listen. But there will be more fun stories and powerful life change. And remember, it's never too late to change your marriage.